We begin the current daf Masechet Zvachim and daf Samach Dal. We begin on the second line down at the top of the Yamad, where the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our previous Mishnah, which the Mishnah was a continuation of the theme of the Mishnah in this parak and the previous parak of Ezim Ukaimen, where is the places where we do the slaughtering and the receiving of the blood of certain karbanas. And then our Mishnah is continued into Menachas, flower offerings, and then going into the previous Mishnah, which discussed the Chatas Ha'if. And that the Mishnah said that it's done on the Karen Maravis de Remus. And then the Mishnah, once it said that, said Shleisha Dvar Mechulu. There are actually three things that are done specifically at the southwestern corner of the Mizbech. And the Gemara explains the source for all those three halachas. So the first one, Chatas Ha'if, the bird carbon Chatas. So Hadamar, that's what we said in the previous daf, because we know the Pasuk said, Ki Chatas He, when it talks about the Mincha, he calls it a Chatas. Thus, the mincha is like a chatas is like a mincha. And we learn that just like the mincha, the flower offering, it's hagasha. The mincha has to be brought to the southwestern corner, as the Gemara is actually going to explain in a moment. So therefore, it compares the chatas to that too, to tell us that the chatas, if it's hazais, it's zrikas hadam, also has to be by the southwestern corner of the mizbech. Hagashas, how do we know, which is actually the source of the Chatas Ha'if, that the bringing near of the Mincha has to be to the southwestern corner? That's the Chsib, like it says in the Pasuk Miyikra, as we explained the previous stuff too. It says, El Penei HaMizbeach, the Geras is to the face of the Mizbeach, which we had expounded, that means the southwestern corner, because the Pasuk also says, Lefnei Hashem. Lefnei Hashem always means Ma'ariv, which is the west, right in front of the Pesach El Moed. But it also says, Al Penei HaMizbeach, the face of the Mizbeach is on the south. How is that? The southwestern corner of the Mizbeach, you get both the Penei HaMizbeach and Lefnei Hashem. And the third thing that was done at the southwestern corner was Shiyari Hadam, the leftover blood of the Chatayis HaRatzainis, when the Karmen Chatas was done in the outer Mizbeach, it was poured on the southwestern corner on that foundation. Like it says in the Pasuk of Yikra, it says, V'skol dam ha-par yishpech, all the blood of the bull should be poured, el yisayit, and the Gemara says Mizbeach, to the foundation of the Mizbeach. Now the Gemara told us in Ezim Ukaimen Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph that we compare and we learn the coming out, the coming down of the ramp on the outer Chatas to the coming out of the Heichel by the Chatayis HaPanimius. Just like by the Chatayis HaPanimius, we know it's the foundation of the outer Mizbeach that's closest, which is on the Ma'ariv, which on the side facing where you're coming out of the Heichel when you do the inner Chatayis. So too by the outer Chatayis, right when you come down, you're coming down to the ramp, that's on the southern side of the Mizbeach, that's where you do the Shvichi Shiraim of the Chatayis HaChatzainis. Now, on the whole southern side of the Mizbeach, there is no Yisayid. Rather, as the Gemara told us during the Nadal Medalv, the only part of the Mizbeach on the south that had the Yisayid was the Keren Ma'arabis Deraimus, as we said, that it only ate into the south. The Yisayid only came into the portion of where Yehuda was, only one Amma, and therefore, if it was on the Darm, it must have been on the Keren, the corner of the Deraimus Ma'arabis. Now, the Mishnah then continued and said, those are three things that were done on the southwestern corner on the bottom. Then, Melmala, on the top, there were also three things that were done in the Keren Deraimus Ma'arabis. And they are Nisach HaMayim Vayayin, the pouring of the libations of the water, and another thing was that of the wine of every day, and va'ila sa'if kishi rabba mizrach, and the bird ayla, when there was too much going on the eastern side, where it normally was done, then they would do it on the southwestern corner. Now, so the understanding, however, is only when there was too much going on. But it sounds like, but the primary place of the ayla sa'if was on the southeastern corner. And that is the Gemara, my time, but why was the ayla sa'if done on the southeastern corner? He says, because it's the closest place to the place of where the ashes were poured. Where every single morning a kohen would come before anything was done, he would go and he would do an avodah called the Trumas Hadeshen, which he would take from all the ashes because all the limbs and the fats were being burnt, the Evarim were all night being burnt on the top of the Mizbeach. And the Pasuk tells us that he would take and he would be Vesamay Eitzel Mizbeach, and he would put the ashes near the Mizbeach. That was on the eastern side of the ramp. Now, it says regarding the Oyla Sa'if, its crop and its feathers, the Pasuk says in Yikra Aleph, V'hishlech Eisa Itzel HaMizbeach Keim, you should throw it to the Mizbeach on the east, El Mekayim Hadeshen, to the place where the ashes were from the Trumas Hadeshen, which later on the Gemara is going to bring from the Mishnah Masechet Tumim, that is on the eastern part of the ramp. Now, so therefore, the closest place to that on the Mizbeach, to be able to throw it there, was on the south, eastern corner, because it was right behind it, essentially on the southern part of the Mizbeach, which was on the eastern part of the ramp, where the ramp was narrower than the Mizbeach itself. So that's why they did it over there. Now, based on this idea, Omer Yechanan, he says, come and see how great is the strength of the Kahanim. There is nothing lighter in a bird, more than its crop, which is part of it's a pocket in the gullet of the bird, where it's until the food is digested, and its feathers, which something that's very light is very hard to throw it at a great distance. And yet, Pamim, there were times, like we said in the Mishnah, when there was too much going on the eastern side, and they would do the Eila Sa'if on the southwestern corner. So it was required, Shakayin Zarkan, that the Kayin had to throw it, Yesim Ibishleshim Amma, more than a distance of 30 Amas, it's around 60 feet. Did not, like we learned in the Mishnah in Mesechdis Tamid, that whoever merited to do the Trumas Adashin, the halacha was, Notal Machta Shal Kesem. So as we described, because this is where they would put the Merav and Noitza, was where the Trumas Adashin was placed. So this was what we were referring to when there's a Mishnah Mesechtes Tamid that says, in the morning, the Kohen who married a Trumas Adashin, not a machta shel kesef, we take a shovel made out of silver, we'd go up to the top of the altar, and they would move aside all the coals to the side, and he would shovel out from the inner parts that were totally consumed into ashes, and then he would come down the ramp, so then when he finally reached the floor of the Azara, which was at the end of the ramp, so and he would turn his face towards the north, meaning walking back towards the Mizbech, but on the bottom of the floor, and he would walk to the eastern side of the ramp at a distance of 10 Amis from where the ramp ended, which was a total of a distance from the top of the Mizbech of 22 Amis. Because the length of the ramp was 32 Amis. So if he walked back into the direction of the Mizbeach 10 Amis, he was still a distance of the Mizbeach of 22 Amis. Now, when he reached that spot, he would pile up the coals that he had taken off from the top of the Mizbeach, from the Trumas Adashin, he would put on the floor, which was Rachig Minakevesh Shleshet Tvachim, which was far a distance from the ramp, which he was walking alongside, a distance of 3 Tvachim. And that was the place, that was the place where they put the crop and the feathers of the Eila Sa'if that we're describing. That's where they would put the ashes of the inner altar, where they would put the Keteris, and the Menorah, which they would clean out from the oil and the wicks that they would use there every single night. Now, what we see from this mission is that where the place of the Beis Hadeshen was, which is the same place where they would put parts of the Eila Sa'if. Now, when the Kohen was doing the Avodah of the Eila Sa'if on the southwestern corner, so he had to throw, the way Rashi describes it, as a square of 22 by 22 Amis, where, although it's really 21 by 23, but the way Rashi describes it is, if we think about it from going from south to north, so he said there's still a distance from the Beis Hadeshin to the Mizbeach of 22 Amis. Now, additionally, where the Kohen is standing, he's from where he's standing on the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach until the eastern part of the ramp, which is the ashes is right on the side of the eastern part of the ramp, it's not going to be less than 22 Amis, because you have 6 Amis from the corner of the southwestern until the ramp itself, because like we said, the ramp was narrower than the Mizbeach itself. And then you had the width of the ramp itself, which was 16 Amis. Now, more of a point at Rashi, that even if he would try to get closer to the ramp from the whole Amma square of the Karen itself, so you would say there's only 21, but then there's still another Amma of where the Kain himself was standing. Now, the understanding of where he was when he was doing the Avod in the southwestern corner is because there's this distance of from the north to the south, like we said, to the way the Beis Hadeshin was, because when the Kain is doing the Avod of the Eilas Ha'iv on the southwestern corner, he's on the top of the Mizbech, not on the Seiviv. He's not on the ramp that goes around the middle of the perimeter of the Mizbeach itself, which is what he was when he was doing it on the eastern side. When the Kohen would normally do it on the eastern side, the Eila Saif, he would be standing actually on the Seiviv. Because as we described in the previous daf, there was a small little ramp on the eastern side of the big ramp, going up to the Seiviv. So he was able to stand over there and then do the Avodah, what was necessary to do on the top part of the Mizbeach for the Eila Saif. But on the western side, there was no ramp to get to the Seiviv. And therefore, the Kohen who was doing it over there had to go up to the top of the Mizbeach and stand on the southern part of the Keren, as the Mishnah teaches in Masechta Sukkot of Memchesim and Alv, regarding the Nesachim, where he went up to the left side, and it doesn't say that he would turn to the Seiviv. So he's on top of the Mizbeach. So as we said, from there to the ramp is at least 5 Amis. and the ramp itself is a width of 16 amas. So it comes out from the top of the Mizbeach, you have the an extension of 6 amas until the ramp, for a total of, with the ramp itself, is 22 amas, if you're including also the width of the keren itself. And even though he's on the part of the corner that's towards facing to the ramp itself, so that he would be closer by 1 amma, but like we said, but the person himself takes up space, for a total of a diagonal area of 22 amas by 22 amas squared. Like we said, from the north to the south is clearly 22. And also from him, from the 6 amas going from the corner, whether we include the person itself or the keren itself, and going up to the ramp, and then the ramp itself is 16, for a total of 22. So you have 22 by 22. Now, as the Gemara says many times in Shas, what's called amsa biribua, if you take an amma squared, and then, because the kain is not throwing it 22, then 22, he's throwing it at a diagonal, so that comes out to 1 2/5, if it's going to be done on diagonal, if one has an amma squared. So it comes out, besides the 22 that it is in either direction, you're going to be adding on 8 ammas and 4/5. So it comes out for a total, if you're adding that to the 22, it's going to be 30 amas and 4 large tvachim. Now, the place of the ashes was distance more than that, a little bit more from the eastern side of the ramp, of 3 tvachim. So it comes up for a total of 31 amas and a tefach. So we see that he would throw over 30 amas. Now, but the Gemara asks, why was it said the great strength of the Kohen that he throws at some times when it has to be done in the southwestern corner? A little over 30 amas, as the Gemara, Hanitfei ben Tlasin v'chad havin. Actually, as we just made the calculations, actually more than 31 amas. Why mention only 30? Says the Gemara, because Mukum Gavri Lechashav, he wasn't counting the place of the Kohen himself. So therefore, if you're not counting that amma of the Kohen himself, so it's going to be only more than 30, and the Tefach, it's going to be only more than 30 amas, not 31, and therefore, it wasn't counted as more than 31, but again, it shows the great strength that something so light, to be able to throw such a large distance, that shows the strength of the Kohen. Now the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of the Mishnah that said, Kol Oyim LeMizbeach, that it said, although those who would go up to the Mizbeach would go up on the right, and then go counterclockwise and come down on the left, however, these were the exception, where they would go straight up to the left and stay there and come down on the left. And that is the Gemara my time. Why is it that these three things, that they would not go up on the right and go around till they came to the southwestern corner, but as we said in the previous stuff, it's a mitzvah to go up on the right and go around counterclockwise. Why did they go to the left and come down from the left? So Rabbi Yechon explains why these three things, which were done in the southwestern corner, had to go straight there and not go around till they got there. Because regarding the nesachim, the libations of the water and the wine, shem yisashnu, it's problematic because when they're going to be going around the maracha, they're going to go around the mizbech, there's a huge fire in the middle of the mizbech, it might get smoky from the fire there in the middle of the mizbech, and the Gemara says in Menachas Daf Pei Vav Amud Bei, that the wine of the nesachim, if it's smoky, becomes invalidated. And the oila sa'if, and the problem with the oila sa'if, is shem atamas ba'ashnu, it might die from all the smoke. So that's why these three things, which were done in the southwest corner, was done directly there. Now, Vermini, however, the Gemara asked on this halacha a contradiction of the Mishnah Masechtas Tamid. Mishnah there is describing, granted, the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, that he wasn't the same as all other Kohanim who had to merit with a lottery to get one of the services done in the Mizbeah, on the Beis Hamikdash every single day. Rather, he could do whatever avodah, whenever and however he wanted to. So the Mishnah teaches Masechtas Yuma, Daf Yud Zayin Beis, that the Kohen Gadol could choose the first job that he wants, and he would say, I want to sacrifice this Korban Eilah, whenever he wants to go and sacrifice it. Now, so whoever it was that merited to get, let's say, the transporting of the limbs, would then stretch it out to him, and he would be standing on top of the Mizbeach, and the Kohen Gadol would throw it onto the fire. Now, when he was done, continues the Mishnah, as our Gemara quotes, V'alei l'hakav es ha-Mizbeach, so when he's coming to make a circumference around the Mizbeach, so ma'ayinu maschil, where would he start from? So mikaren deremes mizrachas, because he would start from the southeastern corner, then mizrachas tzvainis in the northeast, then tzvainis marabas in the northwest, and then marabas deremes, and then the southeast, which that was the counterclockwise. V'nois l'yayin l'nasach, and then it would give him the wine to pour the libations until he reached the corner, which was where the shisen was, which was where you could pour down that was in the southwestern corner. Now the assumption of the Gemara right now is that all along he had the wine in his hands, and then he made that that circle. So obviously we see that we're not concerned that the wine might become smoky. So why are we saying that they would go up to the left? On that Rabbi Yechonah says, no, as we continue to Mizbeis, Hakafa Beregel, this of the Kohen Gadol went around the counterclockwise, starting from the southeast, was only by foot, but he wasn't holding the wine in his hand. And that was just for a mitzvah, because whoever goes up for other types of things, like we said, goes to the right and goes counterclockwise. Here also in the Kohen Gadol, who he was also sacrificing the parts, the limbs of the Eila, so he would go up on the right, and he would also make this hakafa, and then he would come to the place of where the Nesachim were done, and then they would give him the wine to do the libations. In contrast to other Kohanim, who they merited the Nesachim by a lottery, they weren't doing any other Avaida. So they would only go up with the wine in their hands, so they would go straight to the left, and then would come down to the left, like we said in the Mishnah. But the Kohen Gadol was on there anyways for another Avaida already by being Makrib the Ayla, so that he was going around the Maracha, so then he would go to the right. When he was finished with that, and then he did the Nesachim, then he would give it to him when he reached there by foot. And the Maravi says, Dikinami, it's precisely like this, because Diktani we learned in the Halacham, in the Mishnah Tamid, that it says at the end, after he went around, then the words are Nisn Layin Lanasach, they give him wine to pour. But like Tani Oimelinasach, it doesn't say, and they tell him to pour. Shema Minah, obviously we can infer that because he didn't have it. They had to give it to him when he finally reached there because, yeah, he couldn't take it around with him because it would have gotten smoky, which would invalidate it. Tanabon Linda Braisa, continuing on this halacha of our Mishnah, Kala Oilin Lemezbech, whoever would go up on to the altar, so Oilin Derchimin, they would go up the ramp. They would go to the right side, the Yarden Derech Smel, and would come down on the left side. So to Oilin Derech Mizrach, when they would go up on the ramp, they would go up on the eastern part of the ramp towards the edge. That's how they would go up, because since he's anyway going to the right, why should he go in the middle or toward the left of the ramp and then have to cross over the whole width of the ramp? He would go up on the eastern part of the ramp, the Yarden Derech Meirv, and when he would come down, he would come on the western part of the ramp itself. Except whoever went up for these three things that we mentioned in our Mishnah, they would go up on the western part of the ramp and come down on the western part of the ramp, and they would go to the right and then come down on the right. Ask the Gemara, Derech Yimin, Derech Smaila, what do you mean the right? They would go up on the left, which was the western part of the ramp, was to the left, like we said, because that's like a person who's facing to the Mizbech, it's going to be on his left. And we said why it has to be on the left, because that's the part that you can't go around with these three things because they might get affected by the smoke. So Ravina, he says, you're right, Tania mended simoil, that it means the left part, which is the western part of the ramp, like a person facing the Mizbeach, that's where they would go up and come down from. Rav Amar, he actually says, no, you could leave the text as it is. Because my yamin, what does it mean when it says the right, when it's said in the Sefer that he goes up and down on the right? It means yamin de Mizbeach. It means the right of the altar. If someone is on the altar, like we've always said, the Penei HaMizbech, the face of the altar, is to the south. If the face is to the south, that means the right side of the face is going to be on the west. And the Mai Smol, what does it mean, the left, that he goes up, that it says in the Reisha, is Smol Degav, is the left of the person. So it's the same direction, which is basically to the left. And that is the Gemara. Why? Benisni ay idi beidi. Either both the Reish and the Sefer should be the Mizbeach in regards to the altar. Ay idi beidi de garvo. They should also be in reference to the person. Why, when we're describing the left, it means the left of the person, and when we're saying the right, it means the right of the altar, which is actually the opposite direction, which is actually the west and not the east. So the Gemara kasha. That's the difficulty. Why it does it changes, but it's still not a contradiction. We could explain it in that way. Continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, continuing on that halach of chatas ha'ayv, of the bird carbon chatas, says the Mishnah, ketzad ha'yinasas, how was it done? So it says the Mishnah, ha'yimaylik es reisha mimul arpa. He would cut the head of the bird opposite the back of its head, which is actually, as we'll say in the next Mishnah from Rashi, is actually the nape, which is the area in the back of the neck, because it's facing the back of the head, which is facing it is the back of the neck. Now, ve'ena mavda, when he would cut the back, the nape, he would not separate the head from the body itself. Rather, he would cut only one of the two simanim, that is, this windpipe and the food pipe, esophagus, trachea, he would cut only one of them. As it says in the pasuk, u'molik es reish mimul arpa v'lo yavdil, the pasuk says mi'ukrahei. He would not separate the whole neck itself. As the Gemara says in Chulun Daf Chaf Aleph Mabeis, that we learn that it means only one of the simanim, one of the signs he would cut, not both. Now, he would hold on to the bird itself, and then he would spray from the blood, not as we do by karbanis, that you get it collected in the vessel and then throw it from the vessel. No, he would spray from the blood itself onto the wall of the altar, and shiari hadam mismatza, the leftover blood would be squeezed out, meaning that he would take the place of where the bird is cut by its neck and press it against the altar on the wall, and the blood would drip down, Ala Yesod until it came onto the foundation, which was in the bottom beneath the on the bottom of the Mizbeach, since the Chatzis Ha'if was done on the bottom half of the Mizbeach beneath the red string. So the Saiviv, which was a ramp that went around the upper half of the Mizbeach, was not in the way, so therefore it just dripped straight down to the Yesod. And Ve'el Mizbeach El Adama, the altar only has the blood of the Chatzis Ha'if, but V'kul Lekan, the rest of the carbon goes to the Kan. Now, elaborating on this halacha, so the Gemara brings Tarabah on a pasuk, a brisa that elaborates on the pasuk in Miyukra, Parakei Pasuk Tes, that says these words. V'hizim idam achatas, it's talking about the chatas aif, that he sprays from the blood of the chatas al kira mezbech on the wall of the altar. V'anishra badam yimatzeh, in the left of the blood he squeezes out el yisayda mezbech all the way down to the foundation of the mezbech. Chatasu, it's a karma chatas. So the brisa goes through the different words in this pasuk. So it says, v'hizim idam achatas, he sprays from the blood of the chatas. What does that mean, from the blood of the chatas? Migufa chatas, from the body of the chatas ha'if itself, meaning that he doesn't spray, not from a vessel, as most karbonos, not with his finger like by chatas behema, rather he holds on to the bird itself and he throws it, and therefore the blood sprays towards the altar. Okay, it said, how so? Eichis bereish u'bubuguf u'maza, he holds on to the head and the body, and he projects it, and therefore it sprays the blood. Now, it says in the pasuk further, al-kir ha'mizbech, he sprays it onto the wall of the altar. Says the Braisa, v'loy al kira kevish, but not onto the wall of the ramp, v'loy al kira heichel, and not onto the wall of the sanctuary, v'loy al kira olam, and not on the wall of the antechamber. So which wall of the altar are we talking about? Zikir hatacht, and this is the lower wall, meaning from the bottom half, beneath the red string that separated the height of the mizbech. On that says the Braisa, o'yena el kira elyon, maybe no, it's the upper half of the wall. Says the Braisa, v'dinu. Now, actually, it would be logical to say that's the upper half. Because ma behema, if we find regarding karbanos that are animals, sha'ilasa lamata, by the karmachatas, by the animals, the karban oila is on the bottom. As the Gemara said in the first parakeet of Yudim and Beis, that regarding the chatas behema, it says a machate oisa, the one who sprays its blood, which tells us, oisa dama lamala. The chatas behema, its blood is on the top. But no other animal karban is going to be on the top, which tells us, because when it's an oila, it's going to be in the bottom. And yet chatas lamala, but when it's an animal carbon that's a chatas, its blood is thrown on the top, because as the pasuk says, it has to be put on the kronos, which are on the top. So oif, regarding a bird carbon, shaylasi lamala, where if it's an oila, it's on the top, as the Gemara tells us later on the next daf. So in yadin shachatas lamala, isn't a kavuchemin that its chatas should be on the top? Because by an animal where its chatas is on the top and oil is on the bottom, here where the oil is on the top, for sure the chatas should be on the top. Tamalema, that's what the pasuk teaches. Vanishar b'adam yimotze el yisod mizbeach, that the left of the blood gets squeezed out to the foundation of the mizbeach. What does that tell us? Kir shashirin shalai, the blood has to be sprayed on the wall, that it's leftovers, meaning when you spray it and the blood is dripping down, mismatzam liyisod has to be able to drip down to the foundation. Ve'eza, which part of the wall is that? Zekir hatachten, that's only the lower half of the wall of the altar, because if you're doing it on the top, then sometimes it's going to squeeze out and it's going to drop onto the saiviv, because from the string until the corners, that's considered the upper half, and basically most of the upper half is on top of the saiviv. In contrast, the lower half, which is all below the saiviv, because the red string is an amma beneath the saiviv itself, that's not going to ever drip on the saiv, and it's going to for sure drip down to the side. Therefore, it must be that what we're spraying this chatas saiv is on the lower half. Now, that is the Gemara. Why? V'neved mi'iloi. Why don't they do the spraying on the upper half? Like we said, because the logic dictates to us in Kavuchemi that it should be, because if by behema, the oil is on the bottom, the chatas on the top, so by oiv, where the oil is on the top, for sure the chatas should be on the top. And then v'hadu navid, and then they should do the mitzah, which is a different act of service. First is hazah, which is spraying. Then there's the squeezing, when you squeeze the neck, which was cut by the mizbech. Then do that half, mitatoy, on the bottom, like the pasuk says. What does the pasuk say should be that it should drip down onto the aside? That's the mitzah, that's the squeezing. What does that have to do with the hazah that should be on the top? So that Amar Rava, he says, miksiv, and Argirsa says one way, yamtzi, yimotziksiv. But the way the Shita Mekubetzes brings in this, Rashi has that girsa, that miksiv yimatze, does it say that he should squeeze? Yimatzeksiv, it should be squeezed, it says. So in other words, had it said yimatze, he should squeeze, it would have sounded like that, yeah, it's coming and commanding the Kohen regarding a different Avodah, that after the Hazah, he should do the mitzvah.
But now that it says Yimotzei, sounds like that it's also going on what it just said before of the Hazah. The Memela Mashma, it sounds like it happens by itself. That by itself, the blood should drip down to the Yisayid. That means to tell us that the Hazah, the blood that was sprayed onto the Mizbeach, should then drip down straight down to the Yisayid. If it's on the upper half, very likely it's going to hit the Saiviv, not the Yisayid, and therefore it must be telling us that he does it on the bottom half, and therefore for sure it's going to hit the Yisayid by the Chata Saiv. Now continues the Gemara and describes Amar Rav Zutra by Tovia Merav. It says, Ketzad Molken Chatasayiv. How exactly is this procedure of Malika by the Chatasayiv done? Which again, Malika is the cutting of the nape. How is it done? So explains the Gemara, Oichiz Gapav B'Shteyatzbayis. So the bird has a few different components. He would hold the wings with two fingers. V'Shtey Reglayim B'Shteyatzbayis. And then there's 2 feet that a bird has. That was held with two other fingers, meaning the way this is being described now is that the bird itself was on the palm, on the inside of the kohen's hand. Then he would put his 2 feet between his pinky and the finger right next to that. Then its 2 wings was between his middle finger and his index finger. And then you still have one more finger left, the thumb, umaytech tzavara. Then he would stretch out the lower part of the neck would be stretched out al reichiv on the outer width of goydoloi of his thumb. He would have the neck between his index finger and his thumb. So it comes out that the throat was facing towards his thumb, and he would stretch it out on his thumb, and then you have the neck facing upward. Umalka, and then he would do the malika. Now, b'mesnita tana tzipra melavar, and the Braisa was taught that the bird was actually on the outside, meaning like we did on the hand, but they would have that the face of the bird was actually not on the palm of his hand, but actually on his hand, on the outside of his hand, where the neck was facing upward. And similarly, oichiz gapav b'shtei etzbayis, that the wings were held with 2 fingers, b'shnei reglayim b'shtei etzbayis, and then the 2 feet were with 2 fingers. U'meitech tzavari, but here that the neck was stretched out, al reichiv shtei etzbaisim, on the width of his 2 fingers, meaning on the width of the inside of his 2 fingers, which was his index finger and his middle finger, and umaylik, and then he would do the malika. And says the Gemara, "Bezu avoid the kasher shabem mikdash." And this was from the more difficult avoidus in the base of mikdash. This was the way the Gemara is saying it now. "Bezu avoid the kasher mikdash." This was the sounds like the most difficult service in the temple, because it's very hard to manipulate one's fingers in a way to hold it. Its feet with 2 fingers, its wings with 2 fingers, and at the same time do malika with the thumb. Now that is the Gemara. Zuhi besulai. This and he also had to with his thumb. He had to stick his the fingernail of his thumb into the neck and into the bone, and also separate the sign of the bird. So I asked him, "Zuhi b'sulay, this was the most difficult, nothing else." Voiku kemitza, but there's the avoid of kemitza, which is by the fistful of the flower offering, where the kohen has to take a fistful with his hands, and then he has to smooth out with the thumb on the top and then his pinky on the bottom, so that there shouldn't be the kohen sticking out, and also he couldn't do too much, and he had to do it in a way that was perfectly between the 3 middle fingers. And so to v'chafina, the handfuls of keteris that he did on Yom Kippurim, the Braisa tells us, was also from the more difficult avodas. It says in Masechtas Yuma, Adav Mem Zayin, Adav Mem Tes. So Le'emer, rather says the Gemara, you're right, it wasn't the only difficult one. Zu avoyde kasha, me avoyde this kasha, shebe mikdash. This was from the more difficult ones, amongst the more difficult ones, which includes kemitza and chafina and malika. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing now on Oilas Ha'if Kitzenasas. We've been talking about till now the Chatas Ha'if, which was done on the southwestern corner. And now, how was the Oilas Ha'if done, which we said was primarily done on the southeastern corner? So says the Mishnah, Allah Kebesh. So the kohen would go up the ramp, as we said, because as the Gemara is going to tell us, this was done on the top of the Mizbeach. But Ufan L'Saiv, he would turn off on the upper half of the Mizbeach onto the minor ramp going on the side. So he came to the southeastern corner, as we said, the reason why it's done over there, because it's the closest to the Beis HaDeshen, where he had to throw some things onto. Hayamaylik Ezraisha, and he would cut the head, Mimul Arpa, like we said before, opposite the Oirif. The Oirif is the back of the top of the head. So what it means to say is that opposite the Oirif, which means to say the area beneath it, towards the wing area, which is the place which is opposite the place that sees the Oirif. And then Umavdil, he would separate two signs, meaning the windpipe and the food pipe, as the Gemara says in Chulin Daf Chofal from a vase. So therefore, that would be essentially separating the whole body from the head. Umitza es dam al kerem mizbeach. And he would squeeze the blood onto the wall of the altar. Notles arosh, and then he took the head. V'hikiv beis milikasi l'mizbeach. And he brought the place of where it was cut to the altar, meaning he would bring it near and he would squeeze it onto the wall so that the blood gets squeezed out. V'safka b'melech, and then he would absorb it with salt, meaning he would clean it with salt, which takes out all the blood, as it says, as because there was salt on the top of the altar, as the pasuk says, v'chol karban menchasa, that all your karbanis of your flour offerings b'melech timlech should be used with salt, as the Gemara says in Menachas of Chafav and Beis, that in three places there was salt. One was in the chamber of salt, one was on top of the ramp, one was on the ramp, and one was on top of the mizbeach. So there was salt over there. He would absorb it with salt. And then bizarre gabish, and then he would take the head and throw it onto the fires on the mizbeach. Then bala leguf, then he would come to the body of the bird. The heiser asabura, and he took off the murah, which is the zefek, which is the crop, which is one of the packets that it has in its gullet holding onto the food. Vesa noitza, and he would take the feathers, meaning he would take the skin, which was opposite the crop itself, with its feathers, meaning he would take it together. So he would take out the area that was opposite the crop with the skin and the feathers on top of it. And v'zbenei ha'ma'ayim ha'yotzim imam, and all the entrails, all the intestines that come out with it. V'shlichan le'beis ha'deshen, he would throw it onto the beis ha'deshen, which was on the floor of the, on the side of the ramp, which was where the ashes of every day, which the trumas ha'deshen was put. Then shisa, he would separate, he would actually not separate, he would cut the body between the wings. But he wouldn't separate the bird itself. Now, v'mhivdil kasha, if he did separate it totally, it's still valid. Seifke b'melech, then he would soak it with salt. V'zorka gabayishim, and then he threw it onto the fires. Now, the Mishnah tells us, let's say loy heiser hamayra v'loy hanotza. Let's say he did not remove the crop, and he didn't take off the feathers that's on top of it. And v'zbenei ma'ayma yitzimimim, he didn't take out the intestines that come out with it. V'loy sofke b'melech, and he didn't absorb it in salt. And that says the Mishnah, Kol Shashina ba Ma'achar Shemitza es Dama, any change that he did in the act of service that's after the squeezing out of the blood, which are all the things we just described, Kshere, that's still going to be valid. Now, however, Hivdol b'chatas, let's say he separated the chatas during the Malika, where instead of, as the previous Mishnah said, where he only is supposed to cut one of the two pipes, he cut both pipes, thus totally severing the head from the body by the chatas, or let's say, B'lo Hivdol b'Oila. Or let's say he did not separate the whole head from the body by the oila as he's supposed to do. Rather, he only did malika on one of the pipes. Then pasul, then it's going to be invalid because any change which is before the services of the blood, which is what these things are going to be invalid, as the Gemara is going to explain the reason. Now, continues the Mishnah, mitzah is dam ha-reish, but like mitzah dam ha-guf. Let's say he only squeezed out the blood of the head, but not the blood of the body, which we said that he has to do on both of them. So then psula, it's going to be invalid. But let's say dam ha-guf, like mitzah dam ha-reish, let's say squeeze out the blood of the body, but not the blood of the head, then geshera, then it's still going to be valid, as the Gemara is going to explain the reason for this. Now, continues the Mishnah, chata sa'iv shemolka shalei lishma. Now, the Mishnah concludes with the invalidating thoughts that relate to the service of the chata sa'iv and the oila sa'iv, which were the two previous Mishnahs, which is this Mishnah and the previous Mishnah. Chatas ha'ev shemolka shalei lishma. The bird chatas, which if its malika was done, not for its namesake, but rather for, let's say, for a different carbon. Or mitzah dama shalei lishma, or its blood was squeezed out, which is another act of service. There's the hazah, and then there's the squeezing. Its blood was squeezed out, shalei lishma, not for its namesake. Or lishma for shalei lishma, for its namesake, and not for its namesake. Or shalei lishma, or lishma, or first not for its namesake, and then for its namesake. So possibly it's going to be invalid because a chatas that's done shalei lishma, as we said in the first mission in the Masechta, is going to be possible. Now, oila sa'if kshera, however, the oila sa'if, if it was done shalei lishma, is going to be kosher because the halacha is that shalei lishma does not invalidate by the oila, but ulbavat shalei osel ba'am shem chayva, but as long as it, however, is not counted as for the obligation of the owner, it's loy olal ba'am shem chayva, although it's a valid carbon, but he has to bring another carbon to fulfill his neder that he had taken to bring that oila. Continues the Mishnah, Echad Chatas Oif Ve'echad Oila Sa'if. This halacha applies to both the Chatas Oif and the Oila Sa'if. Shemolkan V'shemitza Es Daman. If let's say the Malika was done and the blood was squeezed out, but it was done with a Machshava Lechel Dovish Adarcha Lechel, to eat something that's normally eaten, let's say, by the Chatzis Oif, where there it's meat, it's eaten by the Kehanim. Or to sacrifice them as normally sacrificed, which that would apply to the Oilas Oif, which is only burnt in the Mizbeach. But both of these are valid for the Machshava of Pigul, because they're both types of Achilas, one's Achilas Adam, one's Achilas Mizbeach. So if it was done with a Machshava of Chutz L'Mekayim, that it should be done beyond its place. So that's possibly a Mekaris, that's invalid. But if one consumes it, one's not going to be liable for Karis. But if he has a machshava chutz lazmanai to have it eaten beyond its time, and then someone eats from that carbon, then pigul v'chayavim lav karis is going to be considered pigul, and if one eats it, he's going to be liable for a punishment of karis. But ulbavat sheyakar v'matikim mitzvasei, however, this is only if all the other permitters of the chatas ha'aif and the oilas ha'aif was done according to its appropriate mitzvah. As the Mishnah explains, ketzli kar v'matikim mitzvasei, what does it mean that all the other permitters were done accordingly? So the Mishnah describes, Malik b'shtika, let's say when he did the malika, which is the first avodah, which is the equivalent of the shechita by a carbon behemah, he does it silently, meaning lishma. But then, he squeezes out the blood, that it should be done and consumed beyond its time. Or let's say he does the malika with a machshava of chutz hazman, but he squeezes out the blood silently. So everything else he did accordingly, besides one avodah that he did it chutz hazman. Or he does both the malika and the squeezing out the blood where the machshava that it should be eaten chutz lazmanai. So zera shekarva matikim mitzvasei. This is that all the permitters were done according to its mitzvah, either because all of it was done appropriately besides one with chutz lazmanai, or they were all done with chutz lazmanai, but no other machshava psul was brought in. So that's going to be a bona fide pigul to be chayav karis if one eats from the meat of that bird. Kitzad loy karva matikim mitzvasei. What would be qualified as not having all that's permitted being brought according to its commandment, thus not allowing it to become pigul to be chayv karasan, is if let's say malik chutz l'mekayimei. He had a different machshava. When he did the malika, he had a mind that should be eaten beyond its place. But then mitzadam chutz zmani. Then when he squeezed out the blood, he had a machshava chutz zmani. Or the other way around. Shemal chutz zmani. When he did the malika, he had a machshava chutz zman. Or mitzadam chutz l'mekayimei. When he squeezed out the blood, was a machshava chutz l'mekayimei. Or for sure, if he did both with just chutz l'mekayimei, the malika and the mitzui, that is not only chutz l'zmanai, so that's not going to be a chiyuv of karis. Or as the Mishnah continues, daf samachei med aleph, chatas ha'if, which is uniquely for the chatas ha'if, shemalku shalai lishma, where if the malika was done shalai lishma, umitza adam chutz l'zmanai, and then the blood was squeezed out chutz l'zmanai. Now in contrast, by an oila, oila sa'if, Shalei Lishma would not remove it from Pigul because it's actually kosher if it's done Shalei Lishma. So this halacha of Shalei Lishma precluding Pigul from happening of Chutz Lizmanei is only Bechatas Oif. Oy Shemalik Chutz Lizmanei. Or let's say the Malika was done with a Machshava Chutz Lizman. Or Mitzah Dam Shalei Lishma, and then however its blood was squeezed out Shalei Lishma. Oy Shemalik or Mitzah Dam Shalei Lishma. Or let's say if both the Malika and the Mitzah was done Shalei Lishma. So Zer Shalei Kavar Matik Mitzvah, that's not something that all of it was done permitting besides one that was done chutz zmanai. And therefore, it's not going to be pigul to be chayv karis. It'll be pasul, but no chiv of karis. Continues the Mishnah, lechel kezais b'chutz kezais l'macha. Let's say the machshava was that it should be eaten an olive of it beyond its place and an olive size of it beyond its time. Or kezais l'macha kezais b'chutz, or the other way around. First, he had a machshava of an olive of it should be beyond its time and an olive of it beyond its place. So he's having both machshav, his chutz l'zman, chutz l'mekayimei. Or let's say, kechatzi zayis b'chutz, kechatzi zayis l'machar, a half a olive size beyond its place, and half a olive size beyond its time, or the other way around, kechatzi zayis l'machar, kechatzi zayis b'chutz, half a olive size beyond its time, and half a size beyond its place. So although pasul, they're both going to, the two halves of a gezayis will combine for the shir of psul to make it pasul, but ve'im b'kar, it's not going to be karis, because again, it's not only purely chutz l'zmani, there's also chutz l'mekayimei mixed in, and therefore it's not going to be a pigul to be chayv karis. However, Rabbi Yehuda, he disagrees. He says, Zakal, this is the rule. Im machshavas hazman, kod malachshavas hamakim, if the thought of beyond its time was before the machshava beyond its place, so that therefore that becomes the primary pigul v'chayavim lav karis, then it is going to be pigul, and one is going to be liable karis if he eats from the meat of that carbon, which became pigul by having a machshava chutz hazmani. But im machshavas hamakim, kod malachshavas hazman, but if the first thought was first chutz mekayimei, before he had a machshava chutz hazmani, then even if he later had a machshava of chutz zmanai, it's only going to be possible to be a karis. The first one was what's keveyed. It's going to be invalid, but it's not going to be a punishment of karis. Whereas b'chachamim, this sages say, no, zev is a possible to be a karis. Both of them are going to be only invalid, but no punishment of karis, because again, it's not only chutz zmanai, it's also chutz mekayimei. Now, concludes the Mishnah, but everyone agrees, of lechel kechatzizayis ulahakti kechatzizayis. If let's say the machshava was to eat a half a olive size, by the person. And to have another olive, half an olive size of it to be burnt on the Mizbeach, let's say Chutz Hazmanai, it's going to be kosher. Why? Because although both of these are liabilities for the machshav of chutz hazmanai to create pigul, and we said chutz hazmanai combines with chutz hazmanai, but here the two different consumptions, although they both include ochel yachel, that they're both going to be liabilities of having machshav to create pigul, because one is the consumption of a person, one consumption of the altar, but still those are two different totally types of consumptions, and therefore they're not going to combine, and therefore actually the carbon is not even going to be pasul because it didn't have a share of kazayit, it's actually going to be kosher.